T-minus 13 to episode 1000. It's Thursday, October 16th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 987, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a WordPress builder site, domain name, and Outlook email address for just $1 per month for 12 months, or pick up a domain name for just $1.49. All my specials can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, I'm here my last day in Indiana. Going to be heading towards Louisville in the morning and then flying back to Honolulu on Saturday if this tropical storm slash almost hurricane doesn't shut the flights down, which at this point I don't think is going to happen. But a little bit on edge. I've been watching the storm tracker, but I think everything's going to be okay. It's weakened. The storm that's heading towards Oahu, or all the islands there in Hawaii, has, I guess for a better word, weakened a little bit, which is great news. But I tell you, I had a full week here. Just absolutely, I guess for a better word, kind of like overwhelmed. It's been a whirlwind week on many, many levels. And got back to the hotel room here pretty late this evening. So I'm starting the show off kind of at a disadvantage and not having my normal full-time to do show prep, but I got some good content for you tonight. For all the Ohana and all the longtime listeners of the show, thanks for being here. And, of course, this show, again, is going to be audio only, and I will be back in Honolulu, back in the studio for a regular show Monday night. So I do want to thank all of you for of course, staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana here. Those of you that are brand new to the show, we want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the show very easily by really just following the instructions on the website. Click on the iTunes link. And if you're an iOS user, Apple user, you can immediately get subscribed to the show as the podcasting app will load. And you got to just hit subscribe. Those of you that are on Android, you got to click the RSS feed with the headsets on it on the again on the second column of the website. That'll launch your Android podcasting app if you have one. If you don't, go get Beyond Pod on the Play Store. It's a free download. And once you get that installed, go ahead and subscribe that way. Of course, you can watch the show really a variety of places, watch and listen, on geeknewscentral.com itself, on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, on our channels with the Tech Podcast, and of course, just using your tablet, just come over to the website. So really, there's really no way to miss the show, but we want you to be able to take the show with you at a moment's notice. And that's done with your mobile device. So we definitely encourage you to get subscribed. Of course, you can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. If you have a comment on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook, Google+. Really, that's the easiest way, and you'll see some links around the website that'll take you there as well. The show tonight, of course, is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been a sponsor here for a long time, and they continue to bring great deals to you on a monthly basis. This month is no exception to that rule, and I'm absolutely messing up here because I'm trying to load a website while at the same time that I'm talking. But again, if you go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, we've got lots of offers here. We've got the 30% off on new orders by using the promo code GNC30. We got $1.49.coms for just, again, $1.49.coms by using promo code Geek149. If you use the promo code GNC, G-O-T, GNC GOT, you get a good domain name, a website builder account, Microsoft Outlook email address account for just $1 a month for 12 months. Again, a free domain, website builder, and Microsoft Outlook email for just $1 a month, using promo code GNCGOT. Press 4, Geeks 12, 50 Host 7, 50 WSB 7. These are all great codes. They're also on the website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy that you can utilize to save a lot of money at GoDaddy. And we want to encourage you to pick up a domain name, hosting account, give one away for a birthday present, anniversary, even consider a website like I am for an upcoming anniversary. So definitely check all those deals out. Again, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Be honest with you, folks, tonight I'm a little bit, I could use a Red Bull. I really could. I could use a Red Bull. I was driving back to the hotel, and I was just like, and what it is, I'll be honest with you, it's not cold, but it's been wet and damp and kind of chilly here all week, and I'm kind of used to the sunshine. And it's just kind of like sucked the life out of me. I don't know what it is. And today it kind of just caught up with me. So I'm glad business is just about done and it's about ready to send my butt home. But I've got a couple of big deals that have been signed this week. I had a new consulting deal that was signed, and I'll be probably traveling to the Washington, D.C. area. I think Northern Virginia is where the company is actually at. In early December. And then I've got a consult I have to do next week with a pretty famous website company. Can't really say on the show who it is, maybe after the consult. But the podcast consulting is doing well and keeping me busy. So anyway, enough on that stuff. But I do want to mention today's show. Again, I've got a small variety of stories for you. There wasn't a lot in the news today. And, the biggest thing is just everyone is scared to death of this Ebola. And I just find it incredible that now we're facing a situation where they're shutting schools down in Ohio and in Texas on a precautionary measure, largely because the gal that the second nurse who was infected had flown to Columbus and basically was doing some stuff for her wedding shower or for preparing for her wedding, and had basically was running a fever and called the CDC and say, "Hey, I'm running a fever," and they actually allowed her to get on the airplane. And I'm like, what is going on with our federal government? It just scares me a lot, and I just think that just imagine if you were the person on that flight that was sitting next to this gal. I think I would be flipping out, and if my family members gotten sick and the CDC had told her to get on the airplane when they knew she'd been treating the first gentleman that had died, they would have to restrain me in handcuffs because there wouldn't be a news agency that didn't hear. It just to me blows my mind that this nurse would have done this herself too. She knew the risk and decided to travel anyway. I find it incredible. I really do. And now they've moved, I think, one of the ladies to Atlanta, and the second one that was on the one went to Atlanta, went to I think there's a medical facility outside of Washington, D.C. It's pretty crazy. But be prepared, folks. Think about what's going on here. Keep your family safe. Just have to watch out for this. I know that we're only dealing with two patients at this time, but this thing's got this boomerang effect. You've got 120 people that were potentially exposed on the airline flight, and then Frontier. I think it was Frontier that flew her. They had to decontaminate the aircraft twice. Maybe even a third time, I'm hearing a rumor. So it's pretty crazy out there. I know this is not tech related, and I know that there's a lot of hysteria going on over this, but I'm just a little bit more concerned than I've been saying here from the beginning this thing can turn bad in a hurry. So be careful. Okay, all right, let me go ahead and bounce into the tech content tonight. Of course, today was a big day for Apple, but actually, I think there was some bigger news, and that news came out of Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin today has claimed to have had a breakthrough in fusion technology. They're promising clean energy to power a small city from something that could fit on the back of a truck. So Lockheed Martin's compact fusion technology has the potential, they're saying, to revolutionize life, of course, as we know it, if it works. After years of development at the company's legendary Skunk Works facility, and of course, if anyone could come up with something really out of this world, it would be them. Lockheed is coming forward now to find partners in the public and private sector. The main breakthrough, they say, is having shrunk the size of the reactor into something about the size of a shipping container. Unlike nuclear fission, which of course is the splitting of atoms like current nuclear reactors, fusion, of course, does as its name suggests, it fuses atoms together. Of course, this is what our sun does to create sunburns and life and everything that goes on this planet to keep us breathing and alive. And we know that nuclear power is, all kinds of nastiness and leaves a lot of stuff behind. Materials that have to have a half-life of a couple thousand years and so forth. So we've got a potential here to have really some relatively clean energy here. And if they're able to make this thing work, this could be big. Now, we all should be very skeptical of this because this isn't, as we all know, the first time promises of fusion have been made. But we know that since Lockheed is a publicly traded company, they're unlikely to be talking about something like this if they didn't think it was possible. They have to be very careful about what they say about future potential for the company. And if this really is the case, and this breakthrough leads us to the fusion age, this could be big and really could change things worldwide. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope that Lockheed is hit one out of the ballpark here, and they say 5 years they'll be ready to start creating energy within 5 years with this tech. So show me more, and we'll see if this really is the case here, if this is going to happen. They talk a little bit about what's going to happen with this. We're talking about the tech, but we're going to have to see what happens here. So keep our fingers crossed. This article that was up on CNET. Let's talk just a little bit about the Apple announcements today. A little bit, for better words, underwhelming. And there's already warnings out from folks like Gizmodo that are saying that the new iPad Mini 3 is a terrible deal, and you should not buy it. Now, I think this is the first time I've ever seen Gizmodo come out and basically say, don't be stupid, don't buy this. But here's the deal. They say the iPad 3 is a pretty good small tablet. And he says, I know this because it's almost the exact same device as last year's Retina iPad Mini, a device that they already reviewed. So they go on to say, if you're going to buy an iPad Mini, buy the one that costs $100 less. The only reason to buy an iPad Mini 3 is if you're willing to part with $100 extra or so. And here's the differences in the two. Apparently, they're going to introduce a gold tablet and one with a tablet with a Touch ID. They're saying that's the difference. That's the only difference in specs. The internals are the same. The display is the same. The size and shape and weight are the same. The camera is the same. It's the same thing, just with a gold option and a fingerprint sensor that is almost certainly not worth a 33% markup. And, it also comes in a 128-gig model. So, I'm thinking to myself, that's an announcement? Give me a break. Now, Apple did make some other announcements today. And I think we're not at all surprised that Apple Pay is going to launch on Monday. And this launch is going to, of course, be in the United States. And the service will work on the new iPad Air 2 and the iPad Mini 3 and, of course, iPhone 6s. So they are adding a lot of companies to the launch. There's not a full list available out. But with Apple Pay, Apple merchants don't see, doesn't see or store any of your personal information. Instead, users take a photo of their credit card and add it to their phone's passbook, where it's assigned a unique device account number encrypted and stored in the iPhone's secure element chip. So if a device is misplaced or lost, users can go to Find My iPhone, where they can put the device in lost mode. So we will see where this goes, but Macy's, McDonald's, and Whole Foods, it's going to be one of the three places, at least they've announcing initially they'll be available on Monday, of which I think I only shop at one, which would be Macy's. If I go to Whole Foods, I go to look around and usually leave because I can't afford the place. Anyway, that is one of the things they announced today. Another thing that they did announce is a SIM card is about to die, and Apple has just dealt the first blow, and the wounds are, this is huge. And this, I do not know how Apple talked these folks into this, but apparently with the iPad Air 2 and Mini 3, Apple's has started making its move by using a reprogrammable SIM card that can be taken from carry to carry, switching networks and pricing plans through a user-friendly software on the device itself. It's called Apple SIM. Now, not every carrier is still on board yet, but Apple SIM is still removable, and the carrier-bought iPads will use regular lock SIMs, but the writing is in the wall here. The wounds are mortal. Within a year or two, you'll probably never see a SIM card in an Apple product again. Basically, this is the plan. They want to be able to allow you to pick your carrier, just buy a device, and you can switch on the fly if you so desire to do so. So this is one of the things that they announced today. That's pretty big, to be honest with you. Okay, let's go back to this a little bit later, and I'll get out these other things. So, Apple's got a video of the new iPad 2, and of course the Retina iMac. Now, dig deep into your wallets, because the 27-inch Retina 5K iMac announced today is $2,500. So, you know, that will probably buy two equivalent laptops or desktops. Really, that's an incredible amount of money for a 5K iMac. But really, this is one of the, you know, everyone's raving about the display. But I guess 5K, it should look really beautiful. Now, Apple's update the Mac Mini. They lowered the price to $499, and that's about time that they've done this. So they've introduced the, this is the first update since 2012. And again, the starting price has dropped to $499. Internally, Apple will be offering customization options, including fourth generation Intel Core processor, as well as also known as the Haswell. And it's Intel Iris and HD Graphics 5000. In addition to that, the 2014 Mac Mini is set to offer a PCIe-based solid-state drives, supports 802.11ac, 8-C Wi-Fi connectivity, and a pair of Thunderbolt ports as well. So no other additional on that. Of course, will come on the now available OS X Yosemite that is available, and I'm sure many of you have probably started to download if you haven't already installed it. But this is probably the extent of the announcements from Apple today. Again, Apple Pay is coming on Monday. The 27-inch iMac is going to cost you $2,500, $100 price drop on the Mac Mini, and of course Yosemite again going to be available. No one is, you know, basically Gizmodo said don't buy the iPad 2, iPad, excuse me, the iPad what was it, the Mini 2, excuse me, I'm sorry, but so that just gives you a little heads up there on what the techs are saying. What else do I have in the stack on Apple? Let me make sure that I have, oh, and the actual resolution on the 27-inch iMac is 5120 by 2880, which is really pretty incredible from a size standpoint. All right, switching gears here, Getty. Of course, Getty Images. I'm not a big fan of Getty Images. You guys know I've talked bad about them in the past over a number of reasons. But again, Getty Images has failed to convince a federal judge to halt Microsoft Bing image widget, which it says enables massive copyright infringement because the software company had already taken it down voluntarily. So Getty had asked U.S. District Judge Denise Cote in Manhattan to slap Microsoft an injunction on the product, even though Microsoft removed the widget the day after the lawsuit. So basically, the judge says, I don't need to. Your lawsuit can continue, but why slap them down with something that they've already done voluntarily? Google, in its earnings report today, has announced that they've missed estimates in the third quarter, and they're also announcing a new business chief. So the world's largest search engine said sales rose 20% to $16.52 billion in the third quarter, but ended on September 30th. Profit minus some costs was $6.35 a share. Analysts were expecting sales of $16.59 billion and a profit of $6.54 a share. I wonder if they're going to hammer them like they hammered Netflix with a 25% reduction in their stock when they said that they missed some of their sales numbers, but yet were profitable. But gee whiz, pretty huge drop. Now, at the same time, what was the name of the individual here? I'm scrolling down here. I guess who did they hire? This title of this article says announces a new business chief. Okay, on a conference call with analysts to discuss the results, company announced Omid Kardestani, the company's former chief business officer, had returned to the role, and the company's last business chief, Nikesh Arora, announced in July that it was leaving Google for SoftBank. So this guy's back in his position. Obviously, probably Google wasn't too happy to lose that other guy to SoftBank. All right, switching gears here a little more on the serious side. The FBI, again today, has renewed calls for broader authority to tap into emerging technologies, saying that the Edward Snowden revelations have led to unwarranted mistrust of law enforcement. I don't know about the unwarranted. They're saying these revelations about widespread surveillance have led to a climate which could hinder the ability to catch criminals and terrorists, underscored by new efforts to encrypt smartphones and make them inaccessible to investigators even with a warrant. Perhaps it's time to suggest that the post-Snowden pendulum has swung too far in one direction, in a direction of fear and mistrust, Comey said in his speech at the Brookings Institute. So, he definitely wants the government, specifically Congress and House of Reps, to put some laws in place to prevent this. We want to use the front door with clarity and transparency and with clear guidance provided by law. We don't want to go in the back door. So, anyway, he wants Congress to update the law, but also hopes companies will cooperate in efforts so criminals around the world cannot seek safe haven for lawless conduct. Let's be honest here. Organizations like the ACLU, which oftentimes I don't 100% agree with, came out today immediately and said, Whether the FBI calls it a front door or a back door, any effort by the FBI to weaken encryption leaves our highly personal information and business information vulnerable to the hacking by foreign governments and criminals. We applaud tech leaders like Apple and Google. They're unwilling to weaken security for everyone to allow the government yet another tool in its vast arsenal. So another individual, Nuala O'Connor, president of the Center for Democracy and Technology, also opposed efforts to give special access to law enforcement. We debated and settled the question of whether law enforcement should have backdoors into communication networks more than 20 years ago, she said. Now more than ever, we need strong security to combat malicious hackers and deter overly intrusive surveillance. Companies are providing more encryption because it's exactly the type of protection the public wants and needs. So this guy is going to beat this drum until he gets some congressional rep to start putting in some new laws. Now, before I left Honolulu, I was having trouble with the router. And it's, I don't know, is anybody else have this issue? It seems like I have a router maybe 2-3 years, and all of a sudden it starts getting wonky. I've got one at home that I had to reset to 4 or 5 days in a row, which made me suspicious itself enough to turn on logging on the actual router itself to log anything that was going on, because it had not had this issue before, and basically it freezing up and not, I couldn't do anything wireless or wired on it. So, I'm now, thinking, okay, maybe I'm going to have to go out and buy another router. Again, another 2-3 years, it seems like I'm having to buy one of these stupid things. So Linksys has jumped into the 4x4 and tri-band Wi-Fi fray with its new 8350 and AA9200 routers. And I'm not familiar with these specific routers, but they're getting some pretty high reviews out there. And just looking at the specs on this thing, looks pretty nice. Now, I have not purchased a Linksys device in a while. I buy a little more, a little more commercial type of product, but these look like they've got some pretty serious specs behind them. So what are you guys using for routers these days? Have you bought something recently that you really like that has allowed you to do some cool things with it? Love to hear from you, geeknews@gmail.com, and what kind of routers you're running, or if you've replaced one in recent weeks or months. All right, the state of Michigan is about to ban Tesla sales. And I actually had gotten, I think I had a couple things come in from Facebook from some folks today pointing me at this, but apparently Michigan is putting forth a bill, HB 5606, originally intended to offer added protection to franchise dealers and consumers from price gouging by car makers, and was passed by the Michigan House in September without any anti-Tesla language. However, once it hit the Senate, wording was changed that might imply the legality of a manufacturer-owned dealership was removed. The modified bill was passed unanimously by the Senate on October 2nd and then sent down back to the House. So, apparently, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder has less than a week to sign the bill, and Tesla's already fighting the legislation. But again, the old guard, Ford, Chevy, and so forth, do not like Tesla, and they're trying to keep them from playing here. Over on Tech Dirt, Arrow's in the news. I thought Arrow was dead. Well, Arrow has been to court. And they say, hey, if we change our technology this way and this way, can we continue to, can we move forward? And the judge said, no, you're done. You're supposed to be out of business already. But anyway, they'll probably get a ruling here quickly. But the judge wasn't too nice with them in the discussion. And he feels that the Supreme Court ruling was final, but basically Arrow's trying to change by putting a delay in the delivery of the content and a couple of other things to get legal and to fall within the letter of the law. And I think what will happen here is Arrow may just shut down and come to life as a different company, potentially with this new way of doing things, Should be an interesting time to watch and see if they continue to battle this and they don't go down without a fight. All right, those of you that listen to the show in Austin, man, I'm so jealous. Google says that Austin residents can start signing up for fiber internet in December. So this is a big, big deal here. So again, Google Fiber is about to expand into a third city. Google spokesperson said that the company would begin the sign-up process for fiber in Austin this December, about a half year later than originally projected. Of course, Fiber for Austin was really announced in April 2013 with the goal of connecting homes by mid-2014. But they've had to get some other stuff in place. And so according to the journal, I guess this is a Wall Street Journal, Google will be focusing on specifically on the south and southeastern parts of Austin in the sign-up process, as in other areas, basically a $10 pre-registration, but it's going to cost you $120 a month for gigabit internet and HDTV, $70 a month for just the internet alone, or basic 5 meg broadband for a flat one-time fee, $30, as listed in Provo and 300 in Kansas City. So Google has said that pricing Austin is similar and residents can get free basic service with a $300 construction fee. So this is big, and congratulations, Austin, to getting 1 gigabyte internet service. Well, got a Mac? Prevent OPSEC leaking by cleaning up hidden OS X files from USB drives. There's a cool application out there that helps you clean up junk you can't see in your sticks. But you didn't know that, right? Well, Clean My Drive is getting some press on basically being a good application to clean up some of that junk that's been left in USB drives that after you delete stuff with the Mac. You can go over and get that at macpaw.com/cleanmydrive.com. All right, almost done here tonight. Again, kind of a short show, I apologize, but a couple of big articles left. AMD quarter three has missed expectations. New CEO is ordering restructuring. Global job losses and outlook is bleak. This is too bad. Just over a week after AMD said saw its executive board shuffle with former chief executive Rory Reed out and Lisa Su taking the top spot, the company basically reported third quarter revenues of $1.43 billion, a 2% year-over-year decrease in net income of $17 million. Wow. Or 2 cents a share. On a non-GAAP basis, AMD reported net income of $20 million or 3 cents a share. Wall Street was expecting AMD to report third quarter earnings of 4 cents a share on revenue of $1.47 billion. But they are definitely in cost-cutting mode. Or as I said, kind of a quick news day today. Not a lot going on in the tech space, at least stuff that I could find. We always want your feedback on articles I find for the show at geeknews@gmail.com. I know some of you appreciate the shorter show tonight. I actually kind of was happy that I didn't find a lot of news tonight because, to be honest with you, the bed in this hotel room is looking awful good. So anyway, hey, appreciate y'all being here with me and taking the time to listen to your show. Maybe not a lot of super added value for value tonight, but we're definitely, I do want to appreciate, I did get a couple of really nice donations, one-time donations on our Mac Pro replacement campaign. And I do want to thank those that came in, and I'll talk to each of, basically be talking about each of those as I get back to Honolulu. But as you guys remember on the last show, I did talk about my Mac Pro dying on Saturday, last Saturday, and I'm still kind of reeling from that. But I have taken some input from those of you that have emailed me, and I'm going to be seeing about getting it looked at with their flat rate repair plan. No guarantee yet. I talked to Apple. They don't know if it can actually qualify yet or not, so I have to go into go into the Genius Bar. So I'll be making a schedule to do that early next week if we're not flooded from a hurricane. But thanks, everyone, for being with me. Again, geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send your comments, thoughts. And if you want to become an insider, part of our GNC 1000 as we march to our 1,000. thousandth episode and beyond. GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Everyone take care. We'll see you in the next go around. Thanks for listening. Aloha.